If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We looked last week at Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 through 19, where we were introduced to the theme of holiness, how central it is to the temple of God and to us being a living temple of the living God. And the Lord commanded his people to consider from this day forward what that meant. It meant that he would bless them, but it also had implications for how they walked in that way of holiness the Lord had allowed them to enter into. Well, if the Old Testament temple had holiness as central to it, so does the New Testament temple, which we see in various places revealed most perfectly in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true temple, and also in the church, the believers, God's people, who are being built into a temple of the living God by the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean for us as God's people, believers in Jesus, that true temple, to walk in the way of holiness? Well, Hebrews 10, all of Hebrews really, but Hebrews 10 specifically tells us exactly how to do that. Talking about now that we've entered into these holy places, using the imagery of the temple itself, this is now then how we walk in them. And so we're going to turn our attention here, even as we try to understand more deeply the book of Haggai, as we look at the New Testament fulfillment here in Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 19 through 25. This is God's word. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is God's word. Let's pray that he would teach us this morning. Heavenly Father, equip us with eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to understand, hearts to believe your word, your calling upon us to walk in the way of holiness. Send your spirit to equip us to that end, to make your word real to us, that we would be changed and transformed, conformed more and more into your likeness and image, that we would leave this place ready, willing, and able to run the race you've set before us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So how do we walk the way of holiness? I promised last week to try and be very practical, to give us this week some guidance on what it means for us to not just enter the way of holiness by faith in Jesus, but to walk it. But the problem is, we all too easily fall into the trap when we move from talking about entering the way of holiness, coming to faith in Jesus, being saved from our sins, and when we move to talking about following after him and walking in his way, we fall all too easily into talking about things in a checklist manner because we want to be practical. And checklists are, if anything, practical. But if we fall into that trap, we will miss the very truth of what it means to walk in the way of holiness. Martin Lloyd-Jones said it this way: holiness is not something we are called upon to do in order that we may become something. It is something we are to do because of what we already are. The author of the book of Hebrews here is saying the same thing in these first few verses. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He's opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, since all of these things are true, now we live like they are true. This is a hard thing for us to live out. It can become philosophical or unpractical, and it's easier to say, well, to walk the way of holiness, you need to have a quiet time every day. To walk the way of holiness, you need to go to church every week. To walk the way of holiness, you need to be in a small group, join a discipleship program. And all of those things are good things to do, but you can so focus on those that you miss what it means to be in the way of holiness. We have access to that way through Christ. It's a new way that we have through His flesh. What does it mean for us to walk it? You can think about it this way. When some time ago we were visiting a state park or whatnot, it had a lot of hiking trails, a lot of different ones, and you could choose which one you wanted to walk on that day. And you found the start of the trail, you found the trailhead by following the signs to that particular trail that you wanted to go on. And there it was. And then you started walking. The question then is, but how do you stay on the trail? I followed these signs to get to the trailhead, but once I stepped past it and entered onto the trail, did I suddenly have to become an expert outdoorsman to stay on the trail? Did I just need to sit down and wait for somebody to come by and pick me up and take me along the trail? How did I stay on the trail? Almost always they had signs and markers along the way, and I followed them. The same way I got onto the trail is the same way I walked the trail. And this is what the author of Hebrews is saying. Even as we have entered into the way of holiness, because of the person and work of Christ, because of our trust in Him, our faith in Him, so we walk it in faith, hope, and in love. This triad of faith, hope, and love is all over the New Testament as a summary of the Christian life. Of what it means to walk the way of holiness even in the midst of this fallen and broken world. Paul uses it almost in every paragraph, it seems. We read it in Ephesians, and we see it now here in Hebrews 10. The way we walk the way of holiness even in this fallen and broken world is we walk with faith, with hope, and with love in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at those three things this morning. And the first thing I want you to see is how central faith is to walking the way of holiness. You see it here in this first admonition. Since we have this confidence, let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, we have a problem, even in the church, especially in the church. We grasp onto this idea that we are saved from our sins by faith, but then we start to subtly and slowly buy into this idea that we stay saved by our works. Yes, we are forgiven our sins because of the person and work of Jesus. But if God is going to bless me, if God is going to watch over me, if God is going to bring me to glory to be with Him, then I need to be careful about all the things that I do. And if I mess up, God is just waiting to drop a piano on my head. What a terrible way to live. And the chapter of Hebrews that we read earlier in chapter 12, the author goes to great pains to talk about those hard times and difficulties we walk through, not in hopeless and despairing terms, but believing that God is who He says He is, a loving heavenly Father. I mean, think about how we respond to different sorts of parents. Those who've grown up with very harsh parents, when they mess up, no matter how major or mild, maybe they failed an exam, maybe they failed a test, those who've grown up with parents that are judgmental and difficult and just exacting, they have a tendency to hide those things. They lie about them, they sweep them under the rug, they hope they never come to light because they don't trust that when they come to their parents with these failures, that they'll be received with kindness and with love. And there are other parents who love their children, who are quick to discipline their children when they need it, who want their children to grow in responsibility and independence. And it's when those children encounter real trouble, addictions, getting fired from their job, illness, sickness, the first place they run is to those parents, even if it's because they themselves have failed so greatly. Why? Because they have this full assurance that no matter how badly they've messed up, no matter how wicked they've been, that their parents love them so much they will not leave them or forsake them, even if they have to discipline them. This is the assurance we have with our Father, that His love for us knows no bounds, that we can draw near to Him in worship, in reverence, in love, in hope, in faith, assured that He has done everything required to cleanse us, being sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Not saying denying that we have an evil conscience. Oh, the Lord knows all too well the things that we've done, that we hold on to, that give us shame and guilt. But He has sprinkled us clean from those things, washed us pure, because He's able. And so now we are able to draw near to Him. And we do that in faith, believing God has done this. Calvin says this, that faith is not a distant view, but a warm embrace of Christ. We cannot believe that God has done these great things for us, that He has cleansed us from our sins, that He has made us righteous in His sight. We cannot believe that He has done these things for us and stand far off from Him. Thanks, appreciate it. I'm going to go take care of my stuff now. When someone who has given their very life for you, who's been raised from the dead and shared that resurrection power with you, even now, how much should we long to draw near to Him, to know Him more, to love Him more? We walk the way of holiness by ever pursuing, ever drawing closer to our God, not because of works of righteousness which we have done, but believing He has made it possible for us to do so. We do it by faith. God does seem distant sometimes, doesn't He? Especially when we are sinful. What do we do? What do we do when we are on the way of holiness and God seems distant? It still comes back to faith. Who do you believe your God is? What do you believe your God is like? Do you believe that your God's work on your behalf to grant you forgiveness of sins is sufficient? Too often we pick up the Bible, if we pick up the Bible, and we read it with this works righteousness mentality, expecting that somehow we have to be transported to the highest levels of nirvana, or we haven't read it right. Or we read it and thing after thing after thing pricks our conscience as we see how we failed to measure up. We failed this. We read the Sermon on the Mount and we think, well, I'm done. I might as well not even read it. Or we don't read it at all because we're afraid of what it might say. And in so doing, We have taken up God's word without faith in the God whose word it is. He's given us this word that we might know him, that we might know what his holiness and righteousness and truth is, that we might know the way that he has set before us, that we might know the things that we should do, but more than anything, that we might know how we can be reconciled to him, that we might know how we can draw near to him. And when we take up his word without faith, without this understanding that we read it to know him, to love him, to pursue him, to draw near to him, we don't take his word up in faith. Or when we pray and it feels like our prayers just hit the ceiling as if God doesn't hear us at all, we're praying without faith. Because it doesn't matter how we may feel about our prayers. What do we believe our God is like? Is he the God who says, I am high and seated on my throne in holiness, as we read from Isaiah. And in order for you to get to me, here are all the things you have to do. That's not what we read in our assurance of pardon. He is high and lifted up. His name is holy. And he dwells in the heavenly places and with the lowly and contrite, the humble of heart, with those who believe the Lord when he promises to give strength to the weary, to give forgiveness for the sinner. He'll follow through. Sometimes when it feels as if our prayers don't reach him, we stop calling out and crying out to him. But the one who has faith keeps crying out, keeps calling out, because they know who it is they have believed. Even the sacraments do this. There's a direct allusion to baptism, being sprinkled clean, being washed with pure water. This sacrament that we have of baptism, that points to faith. Either the faith that we have, and it is a sign of that profession, or the faith that we pray for in our children as they grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is a pointer to faith, this central thing to walking the way of holiness. We walk in faith. We also walk in hope. You see this in the second admonition. Let us draw near, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. See, sometimes we think that when we enter the way of holiness, that once we believe in Jesus and start following him, that we're safe from trouble on the way of holiness. And if trouble does befall us, it must mean something bad has happened. We've done something bad, or God has forgotten about us, or whatever, but nothing could be further from the truth. We hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Why would we waver? The readers of this letter were going through great trials and great suffering. And the author tells them, hold fast to the confession of our hope. He who promised is faithful. But we have to understand that when we walk the way of holiness, when we are following Jesus, we're following Jesus. Paul Miller, who wrote the book A Praying Life, who also has recently published a book called The J-Curve, talks about following Jesus as following a J-curve. Imagine a letter J. How did Jesus come and live? Did he come crowned a king with all the nations coming to him and bowing at his feet? He came lowly, lying in a manger, walking amongst a people that rejected him, whose religious leaders sought his death. He entered this life, and he suffered, and he died. But it never ends there. He was raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he will return to judge the living and the dead from that place. And we who follow him follow that way. And we should not expect this life to be easy and peachy keen just because we're walking the way of holiness. We should expect suffering. We should expect trial. We should expect to learn to have to die to ourselves. It doesn't just describe the overall trajectory of our life. It's every single moment. There's an opportunity to learn to die to yourself and to live to Christ, who's promised to raise us from the dead. And he who promised is faithful. That's why we can have this hope without wavering. Because if he has been raised from the dead, how much more will we? We walk the way of holiness no matter what may come, no matter how dark it may seem, no matter what circumstances may conspire against us, no matter what may come, we walk that way with confidence in Christ's faithfulness to us, confidence to his promises. He will be true. And it doesn't matter if we're on that way and we feel weak or the way seems hard and difficult. Though the enemies of God conspire against us, the world, the flesh, and the devil raise up to crush us, to cast us off that way, he who promised is faithful. When we face the world, this system that is hostile to God, that would seek to oppress and crush the Christian faith underfoot, do we believe the Lord's promise that on the cross, he nailed every power and principality and put them to open shame? He nailed them to the cross, and he will return to judge them. When we are weak, when our own flesh tempts us and seeks to lead us astray, do we believe, as he's promised, that he has sent his Spirit to live in us, that he will give us a way out of that temptation, that he has not called us to follow after him and then set us on a path he will not also equip us to walk? Even when the devil himself rises up and throws everything he has at us, even to bringing us to the point of suffering as Job, do we believe that our Redeemer lives? And no matter what may come, even death itself, we will see him again. This is an unshakable hope, because it doesn't entrust itself to our works, but to he who is faithful. Lastly, we see in this third admonition, let us draw near, let us hold fast, and let us consider. Some have called this passage the lettuce patch because it has these three admonitions for what we should do. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Sometimes we treat the way of holiness as a hobby, like things that we devote ourselves to for certain times and seasons. Sunday mornings, small group, quiet times, but other times we just lose sight of it completely. But the way of holiness is all-consuming. It's more like being in camp than being a member of a club. So you can be a member of an after-school club, join up with them, you know, your weekly meeting, whatever it is, the chess club, the Lego club, the intramural club, whatever. Whatever your interest is, you all gather together and you participate in your interest, and then you go home and you do all your other stuff. And maybe the kids in your Lego club hate grilling, but you love it. Well, fine, you don't have to worry about that. But camp is not like you. When you go to camp, you eat, sleep, live with those people all the time. Everything is camp. The food is camp food, right? It's called that for a reason. The games are camp games. The skits are camp skits. Even those late night prank raids, like that's the essence of being at camp. Every part of it. And you look back on that And there's not a time you don't remember as being a part of camp. That's the way of holiness. As we consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, it's not just for an hour a week. The implication is it's in all of life, in every part. We walk together in the love of God, in the love of Christ, in the love of neighbor. That doesn't come naturally to us, which is why we're admonished to consider. Think really hard. Just as Haggai called the people in his day to consider your ways. Consider your walk with the Lord. Consider how you're treating one another. Consider these things. So the author of the Hebrews says, consider how we can stir up one another towards love and good deeds. Where do we need to consider one another as we walk the way of holiness? The first, don't neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some. Now, we are in unusual times. We have two services, a live stream, and we do these things because we love one another. And we want to make sure we do whatever we can to keep people as safe as possible. But we don't want it to be like this forever. We need one another. The Christian faith is not an individualistic calling. Our Western culture is so radically individualistic. That mindset has even affected the way we think about Christianity. But Christianity is a communal faith. It's a covenantal faith. And we walk this road together. We cannot do it on our own. That's why we need to meet together, so that we can spur one another on in love, so that we can give love to others, so that we can receive it. Sometimes the way is hard, and we all need to be reminded of who our God is and what we believe, and of His sure and certain promises that we've put our hope in. And we need those who love us to come around and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, be encouraged in this time. Let me pray for you. Or walk with me. Follow me. Let me help you. We need to receive that love. We need to give that love. Serving one another, looking for opportunities to do good to one another and to the world, all the while manifesting the love of God and love of neighbor in how we live, in how we walk. Because that's what it means to walk the way of holiness, to walk in faith, believing who our God is, to walk in hope, trusting His promises are sure, to walk in love, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, our neighbor as ourself. And no matter how dark this world may get, that's the way we go. But that's not the end. This way leads somewhere. And the way of holiness, this path that we walk, this race that we run, is coming to a conclusion. We see it here. All the more as you see the day drawing near. This day when the Lord Jesus will return. Even as He's called us to draw near to Him, He's not just leaving it all up to us. He's coming back to get His people, to glorify them, to cleanse them of any remnant of sin, to make a new heavens, a new earth, to remove every evil and dark thing. That's a sure and certain promise. But the way we walk now, until that day, until the Lord returns, until He sets all things right, we walk the way of holiness in faith and hope and in love. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, give us this faith, hope, and love in our Lord Jesus, that we may have an unshakable faith, that we may have full assurance, that we may have an unquenchable love for You and for one another, that You may be exalted. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.